Good morning. Today is Thursday, September the 15th, 274th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Eureka City School Superintendent.
Good morning.
Fred Van Fleck.
Good morning, sir. And you forgot to say third week of the school year.
Is it third or fourth?
At third.
When'd you guys... I know somebody started Tuesday after Labor Day. Maybe that was Brookings.
Yes, we...
The old-fashioned schedule.
August 29th.
Well, that's almost the end of the... third year. Okay, fine.
Third week.
Yeah.
Time flies.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I can't believe, looking back, I can't believe I'm in my fifth year up here already. Time just flies.
Neither can we.
I know.
Somebody was talking about, they made reference to like the 90s. You know, was it like 25 years ago? I said, no, it wasn't.
I know.
That just isn't fair. Oh, boy. Well, before we get into what we're going to get into, we're going to see if we can find a scintillating quote. Is that an education word, scintillating?
Sure, but
you know, use that one often?
I figured you'd come up with something in the 90s, but that quote book looks like it was written in the 60s.
Okay, here's a Zen proverb then, smart guy. We'll go with a proverb instead of a quote. No snowflake ever falls in the wrong place. That's kind of cool, isn't it?
Yeah, I have to think about that one for a second.
Threw the Arcadia kid back on his heels.
Yes. You know, we've had so much snow around here.
Yeah. No kidding. Well, obviously, the topic du jour in the educational community right now is not the start of the school year. It's the end of school career.
Right.
With Gary. And I thought, okay, that's kind of interesting because he was on Friday, on Monday. And Sapper was with him. And the guys didn't say, it was all about hydroponics and the new program. He didn't say diddle.
Right.
I thought, okay. But on the other hand, hey, he kept the secret pretty good.
He did. I got an email yesterday and found out about it.
Oh, you did?
I did,
that same one as well.
Yes, absolutely. You know, the interesting thing about that is just the confusion that's out there amongst the public about what the County Office of Education is and how it relates to the schools around and what is their actual function. And there's just a lot of confusion out there about how school systems actually work.
Now, you and yours are autonomous, right?
Correct.
There's very little interaction, day-to-day interaction with the County Office of Ed.
Right. So there's this perception out there among some people that the county superintendent of schools is the boss of all the county schools, and the different superintendents report to the county superintendent of schools. And that's just not how it works, because there's these individual boards of education that each of the school district superintendents report to.
You got 30 seconds. This is the 30-second notice.
So
don't shut down on me.
Don't shut down quite that quick. Huh?
Yeah, so, it's like I have to be listening to you now.
That was just a test.
Well, I would imagine that that ratio or that lack of understanding is pretty simply understood, because most of us don't take the time and we just kind of go, everything's in a structure. Everything's in a pyramid. Why not this one?
Right. And it's interesting. So when I first got here, they said, Gary Eagles isn't the superintendent anymore.
And we'll continue when we return.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Boy, I've forgotten my pause. Let me restate that. Fred Van Fleck.
That's appropriate. Yes, thank you.
Don't want you to feel like I'm just kind of forgetting where we've gone. 5 years.
5 years, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. The kids finally liking being here?
Oh, my kids love it up here. Absolutely love it up here.
Do they have communications with their buddies back in the valley?
They do. My middle daughter, especially, who's a freshman this year, they alternate with her best friend that she grew up with in the valley. They alternate each summer. One summer she spends a week down there. The next summer she spends a week up here. So
that's exactly what I was going to, was the weather. Yeah. Oh, I would not want to go down south. I just say that.
Yes, yes. Great people down there, just too flat, too hot.
Yeah.
And bad air.
Yeah. Gee. Oh, my. Well, you got a whole bunch of different things here. So Gary's announcement yesterday was it yesterday? Or was it Tuesday night? Tuesday night to his board?
Whenever his board meeting was. I'm not sure exactly when
it
that was.
It used to be Monday night.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Earlier this week.
I've actually never been to a county board meeting.
I've been to three, but a long time ago. Long time ago.
Yes, yes.
When something like that happens, obviously you want to tell your board first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What goes into effect at that point? Because it's an elected position where you're an appointed or an at-will, it's a different ball game. Is it just an interim? They find somebody, put them in, and wait till the next cycle?
Right. So what the board, and I'm not going to pretend to be an expert at this, but my understanding of the process is that the board has a choice of whether they want to do a special election or appoint somebody. And a special election is almost a non-option. And the reason it's almost a non-option is because it's incredibly expensive to do a special election, because you have to create the ballot, pay for all that, et cetera, et cetera. So the fiscally prudent thing to do is for the board to go through some sort of a selection and appointment process. Which is interesting, because a county board is totally different than what a normal school board is. A normal school, and that's probably a bad way to say normal school.
Have
boards.
A routine.
your traditional school district school board, in the fact that they don't evaluate and hire and fire the county superintendent, because it's an elected position, although they do set the county superintendent's salary. They don't oversee the negotiations for the county office. The decision stops with the county superintendent of schools. He or she makes the ultimate decision on yes or no, we can whether or not we can afford raises or whatever it is that they're negotiating with their association. So it's a very different relationship, whereas my relationship is my position is hired and fired by the Eureka City School Board of Trustees. There's five trustees there. They evaluate me. And I am basically considered their sole employee, and then everyone else in the district works for me. Of course, what the board's job is to figure out what it is that they want in the school district, and it's my job to figure out how to get what it is that they want. So it's very, very different relationship. And then the relationship that's a mystery to a lot of people is that relationship from local school districts like Eureka City Schools, relationship with the county board, and the county superintendent of schools. And the relationship there really is simply that they have fiscal oversight, meaning that we create our own budgets. We do all our own warrant runs, which are basically the checks and how we pay people. And then they take a look at our budget and say, yes, this budget makes sense, or no, this budget doesn't make sense and you aren't fiscally sound. So they basically can tell us whether or not our budget will work or will not work. And so they have that fiscal oversight. And then under the new local control funding formula, they also have oversight over our new local control accountability plan. All this education jargon is just crazy. But in a nutshell, that's how we spend our money. That's a plan on what we prioritize to work with our students.
And the other districts pretty much are underneath the auspices of... So even like Freshwater or Maple Creek or any of the other little
Correct.
Schools, that's that different model that most people think are probably familiar with and kind of feels normal, so to
right.
speak.
Right, right. Yeah. But there's this, this interesting thought out there that all the little superintendents or even Eureka City Schools may, but when I say little, Neyland, as you said, Maple Creek, Greenpoint, all those little outlying schools actually report to the county superintendent of schools, and that's just doesn't happen to be the case. They report to their local school boards. That's not to downplay the importance of the county role, because they provide a lot of support, especially for some of the smaller school districts who just don't have the administrative or manpower to get some of the things done that we need to get done in schools.
Thank you very much. Test 5 minutes. Get your blue books out. Please do not submit doodles.
Yes.
Oh, boy. There is a fraternity, though, isn't there, with superintendents?
Not so much in Humboldt County.
No, I was thinking you and Gary, and then Del Norte County's got their folks in the primaries. Not the principal superintendent, but the superintendent.
Yeah, but
not really.
Not really. I meet with Gary on a semi-regular basis, and we go out and chat about the big issues that are happening around the county. So, and
no cigars, no smoke, no back rooms.
No.
No story. Okay,
no,
never
no
mind.
No story there. Yeah.
It's 8:30.
I'm kind of boring.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck from Eureka City Schools.
Dramatic pause.
That's right. Well, you're a dramatic kind of guy. Or is it me that's dramatic?
Yes.
Or I just kind of forget things in the middle of sentences. Talk Shop is presented this morning by Redeck and CDH Painting. Fred, we're seeing an awful lot of these situations, events, discussions around the athletic playing field right now, and football primarily. There's been some discussion about basketball coming up. The overlay of politics and sport really hasn't come into play too much in the last 25 or 30 years. If we exclude hairstyles and tattoos. And that's, throw in fashion or lack thereof, and that's kind of the combination that we've seen since the 70s and in that era. As this is starting to come on, is it another challenge for the K-12 system to deal with? So many of the participants in sports emulate their heroes, quote-unquote heroes. Okay, and if they're looking at sports figures as a hero, they're going to see some of this stuff and think, yeah, be like Mike with the tennis shoes, okay, now be like fill in the blank with some of these other things. Is that a concern for you?
Absolutely. Anytime you have something that people, role models or whatever it is that our students look up to see that is controversial, it becomes an issue for school districts. And the reason for that is because we have everyone in our schools, meaning we have ultra-liberal, we have ultra-conservative, we have religious conservative, fiscal conservative, we have people right down the middle.
I'll save you about 10 minutes here. Left, right, up, down. Thank you very much. Okay.
Yeah, thank you. That's perfect. Good descriptor. And so when you have all those folks inside your schools, there's going to be some disagreement about what is appropriate and what's not appropriate. And I mean, shoot, think about this whole separation of church and state, and how just think about the flag salute, and should we be saying one nation under God, and all those things that come in that are controversial because everyone has their First Amendment right to express their opinion.
Well, wasn't it Wardrobe a while ago? You know, what sayings do you have on your T-shirt or don't have?
Or
hemlines. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff in that arena,
here's
too.
Here's another one that's hot. A Confederate flag sticker in your pickup. That's a hot topic right now.
A sticker?
Oh, absolutely. Anything that has a Confederate flag on it is a hot topic right now.
Well, considering some of the stickers that are on that are far more colorful, mm-hmm. that you see on some trucks, and I'm stunned that they're made, let alone sold, let alone used.
Absolutely. Yep.
Those are flying under the radar screen, but the Confederate flag
right now is a hot topic.
People,
yes.
How interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so anything you can think of that's controversial right now that's in the press bleeds onto school grounds sometimes, because especially when students start driving, because their vehicles, a lot of times, are an extension of themselves. And Humboldt County seems to be the bumper sticker capital of the world.
Isn't it, though? Well, I think it keeps some vehicles actually running, you know, and connected together. It's either duct tape or bumper stickers. Yeah,
you have to hide those rust spots somehow.
Yeah, exactly. Or at least bridge the holes.
Yes.
Well, do you have a moratorium, or do you have any – is that part of the policy, the student handbook about behavior and that kind of stuff, you know, bumper stickers on cars? I mean, the political one would be the one I would have guessed, you know, whether it was side A or side B or, you know, none of the above, that those would have been things that could have caused emotional situations mm-hmm. rather than the Confederate flag or some other things that don't carry quite the same weight here as they do in other parts of the country.
So it comes to an interesting argument of the First Amendment versus local school rules and students driving. And what the case law has said is, if it's a bumper sticker, which is kind of a semi-permanent type thing on a vehicle that you don't take it on and off all the time, it's their freedom. It's their right to express that. But if it's like, for instance, election season and there's signs in the window of a vehicle, you can't do that on a school parking lot. You have to park in the street. But think of all the street parking that's in front of Eureka High School. There's a tremendous amount there. And anything that's in those street parking areas is fair game to put your vote for Clinton or Trump or whoever it is that you want to vote for. I mean, you can just do that.
Is there a distinction with the age of the students? I'm getting to the attire. Okay, let's say I wear a politically either correct or incorrect, take your pick, because I think you know what direction I would go, T-shirt
uh-huh.
to school, or polo shirt. I mean, let's make it so it's not, you know, a raggedy thing. If I'm in seventh grade versus I'm a senior and 18,
mm-hmm.
is there a distinction on how the school deals with that?
No, we hold them to the same standard, whether you are of legal age to be not a minority or a minority, a minor anymore. I don't think you can
grow
out of being a minority.
Clever insight there, Fred. Yeah.
But anyways, if you're of legal age to no longer be a minor, the rules still apply.
Faculty and staff?
Faculty and staff, the way it works for them and their First Amendment rights is during teaching time, they cannot have anything that indicates a political preference as far as, like, for instance, vote for blankety blank for president. They could not wear a button like that in
so
teacher class.
If it's on their car, do they park in the teacher's parking lot, or are they forced to park on the street?
If it's a bumper sticker?
Yeah.
Okay to be in the teacher's parking lot.
Sign.
If it's a sign that's displayed in their window, they have to be on the street.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We'll be back with more for Fred Van Fleck.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Fred, you talked a little bit, and you've been having some discussions around the gym.
Boy, that seems like it's a topic that won't quit, doesn't it?
Well, you know, I look at it, and I just see an old, fatiguing building, and okay, and it's halfway boarded up. You know, it's not like it has an awful lot of emotional connection for me. Obviously, it does for some. What's it feeling like out there now?
So we had a community meeting on Monday. The board is going to be making their decision on how to proceed on September 29th at their regular board meeting. The community meeting on Monday was a report out to the community based on the town hall meeting looking for input. And interestingly enough, one of the big things that was asked to us by some of our community members was hire a historical architect to determine the historical value of the gym and if there's any breaks if it is considered a historical building. So we hired Turnbull Page, same architect that did the Carson block down there, and they did a study on the gym. And they said, as that gym stands right now, it does not qualify to be a historical building.
Because of the disrepair that it's in?
Because of the alterations that have happened to the gym over time to bring it away from that original. The main thing cited, all the glazing or glass on the front being all covered up, the planters out front being all gone. It doesn't qualify for a historical block because there's been so much modification to the high school itself as far as changing around. The original high school is no longer there.
Also, some of the repair and renovation in other buildings reflects on this building.
Right, right. And so it's their opinion that it no longer qualifies to be a historical building. And when you get to the end of the day, now it becomes a decision based upon really money. The board has a very difficult decision in front of them, though, because we have a lot of people in this community. It's a very historic community that have a lot of personal ties to it. I like to quote my dad when I talk with him. He is a graduate there in 1962, and he said, "Why would you save that building? Build a new one." But not all alumni feel that way. And one of the most interesting—
Are the alumni commenting, or is it the community that's commenting?
I think some of the community are alumni.
There's a couple of us stuck around. Okay.
But to me, the compelling comment that came up was from a student who said, forget this piece. This isn't about all of you older people out there. This is about us and what the students want. And everybody that I've talked to says we need to build a new gym because this doesn't meet our current needs. It's not the same as it was in the 50s when this was built. And that was a very interesting topic. But, you know, the board has a difficult decision in front of them.
On the 29th.
On the 29th.
Thanks for coming in, bud.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow.